It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Osmo MMA DFS Strategy Show, as we are here to get you ready for UFC 260, which is on Saturday night. We got a heavyweight title main event. Stipe Miocic taking on Francis Ngannou. Also, Vicente Luque versus Tyron Woodley is our new co-main event. We're going to break it down for you. Of course, leave your questions in the chat. Of course, we are sponsored by Monkey Knife Fight. Head over to monkeyknifefight.com. And when you use that promo code AWESOMO, you get an instant first match deposit up to $50. So sign up today. I'm in there pretty much on the daily playing some NBA prop contests. Had a rough past couple of days. But hopefully get right back at it. So I might be peeking on over, looking at a little Miami Heat scoreboard tonight, because I'm definitely paying attention to that one. But, of course, as always here on the Strategy Show, I am joined by the fighter, Pete Rogers Jr. Pete, we were texting before the show talking about these heavyweights. And kind of, I think it says a lot about the heavyweight division, because I text you, I go, you know, man, Francis Ngannou's got 10 wins in the UFC. And only two of those fighters are actually ranked in the top 10. Of course, two of those wins against Blades, there against Rozenstruik. But then you fire back and go, well, how about you look at Stipe Miocic?
Yeah. What's up, everybody? Yeah, it's a good point because, you know, I feel like, you know, the heavyweight weight class is kind of like a revolving door. And you have one big face of the division. And, you know, we've seen it kind of go in peaks and valleys with Brock Lesnar, Cain Velasquez, you know, Stipe's reign, DC's reign. I'm interested to see this fight for sure, you know, Francis Ngannou against Stipe Miocic. But, you know, if you really look at their entire body of work within the heavyweight division in the UFC, you can look at a lot of names. Yeah, there's a lot of name value. But as far as ranked opponents, because either Alistair Overeem has retired, Junior Dos Santos is not with the promotion any longer, You know, it's, there's a lot of fighters there that, you know, are no longer with the promotion, Mark Hunt even. So, it goes to show you that the depth in heavyweight is, I would say, somewhat slim on the top level. And that's why, like, you see meteoric rise of like a Sorokin or, you know, even like a Chris Daukaus or whatnot. You're seeing these guys start to get big fights pretty quickly.
Of course, Stipe is in a very familiar territory. Once again, the betting underdog in a title fight. This is a role that he has played. Hell, he played in his first matchup against Francis Ngannou back at the beginning of 2018. Of course, we all remember how that went. Because I remember in our premium Slack channel, when the DraftKings odds came out for this one, that was what a lot of people were talking about. Is, oh, Stipe, once again, the underdog spot, 7,800 on DK. 8,400 for Francis, and then over on FanDuel, $20 for Ngannou, $19 for Miocic. I really feel like this is a fight that you have to have max ownership on. You've got to, you know, to me, I don't know if I'll go 100%. I'll probably be at 90%, but I'm going to be somewhere along the lines of like 6 out of 9 lineups, Miocic, you know, 3 with Ngannou. Because look, Ngannou, we all know he has that death punch that he has here. You know, to me, that, you know, the better fighter, no question, is Stipe Miocic. But if I'm looking at concerns on my end, Pete, age, 38 years old, you know, has taken a lot of damage over the years. And then the fact of I do wonder about, just because of how the wildness of Ngannou, that maybe Ngannou is going to land a punch that just normally would not land. But to me, Miocic is the better fighter. To me, he's got to make this clinch fight, wear down Ngannou, get this fight to the second round and wear him and just wear him out for 25 minutes. And, you know, look, if whoever wins this fight, I truly believe will be optimal.
Yeah, for sure. I'm prioritizing the main event. I think that either fighter is going to be imperative for, you know, GPP success. I really do. I think that both come at fair price points. Francis Ngannou, 8,400 for such a KO artist, 100% finishability out of his 15 victories is pretty remarkable. The guy has the most power we've ever seen within the UFC. You know, and I think that that is always viable and always, you know, the potential for a nice Francis Ngannou bonus or Francis Ngannou knockout is always there, because it doesn't even have to be a clean shot. It can be a glancing shot. And we have seen Stipe Miocic get wobbled in the past, finished in the past. DC even, you know, was hurt against Stefan Struve. That's a very long time ago. I made money on that fight. I was actually in Vegas. But in their first encounter, that was the first UFC event I've ever been to. And I got to watch that. And, you know, I was really, really worried for Stipe in that, because you just saw Ngannou come off that amazing knockout over Alistair Overeem, sent Overeem's head to the bleachers, and now you're seeing Stipe Miocic in there just slightly evading every shot and showing off excellent head movement. So with all that being said, you know, you have to have, I would say for me, I'm going to have probably max exposure to this fight, and I will split it, because I think that, you know, despite Miocic, you know, having so many qualities, I do want to say that Francis Ngannou has been in the gym a lot. He hasn't really had the most cage time, though, which is always a, you know, something that you can point to, whereas Stipe Miocic has had these championship rounds against, you know, DC and has looked really good. The striker in me wants to slightly favor Francis Ngannou, just because I think that, you know, he catches him with something. I think everybody's talking about how he only has one round. I think he has two. I think he has two rounds to get it done. But outside of that, it could get very ugly for him, because I think that maybe Stipe Miocic's pace, his game plan, mixing in tons of wrestling, wearing on Francis Ngannou, similar to the first fight. You know, maybe Ngannou is kind of like mentally zapped when he kind of like reflects on that first encounter. Like when somebody has your number, or you know that you were dominated in all facets of the game, maybe Ngannou's going to go out there a little too gun shy and just allow Stipe Miocic to dictate the entire fight. We'll have to see. But regardless, smash exposure to this fight, split it. I'm just going to lean a little bit just for me, just because I like Francis Ngannou more than I like Stipe Miocic. But as far as the entire card, Miocic is hands down the best value on the slate.
And he's potentially a huge slate breaker in terms of what he can do, you know, 140 points in their first matchup. I do want to ask you as the fighter in relation to this, because obviously the whole Extreme Couture team, what are they talking about leading up to this fight? Is cardio is not going to be an issue. That's all we're going to hear this week. But as a fighter, is how are they testing the cardio of Francis in the training room? Because it's not like Francis Ngannou is going out there and throwing 120 mile an hour fastballs on his sparring partners like he's going to do against Stipe Miocic.
Well, I mean, the best way to kind of, you know, simulate a fight is to do Shark Tank drills. So what Shark Tank drills is you have multiple partners with you, and, you know, whether it's every minute, on the minute, you're having a fresh guy come in there or put you in different positions. So I'm sure that Francis Ngannou is going to be well prepared in this matchup as far as, you know, like having better conditioning. But, you know, a lot of conditioning and a lot of just like your physical, you know, your entire body is just based on genetics as well. Like, he is so muscle bound that I think it's going to be, I don't want to say impossible, but it's going to be very difficult to kind of, you know, keep up with Miocic's pace the longer this fight goes. Like, he could be as well prepared as possible, but, you know, with his game of throwing heavy strikes and being so muscle bound, he has a limited, you know, time to get this done. You know, I mean, there are some fighters that carry their power late into fights, like Derek Lewis. But if you look at Derek Lewis's physicality compared to a Francis Ngannou, just completely different body frames. But I would expect Francis Ngannou to have improved since the last time that they fought. I just wonder mentally, like, this is the guy that kind of just outclassed you for the entire, you know, duration of the fight. Do you have any answers? Because maybe you stuffed the first shot. What happens if he actually does get you on your back? Does your confidence get zapped?
Yeah, look, I think, as you said, I think this is a fight that you have to have mass exposure to, of course. So we have free content over today at awesomeo.com. That is the MMA fighter ranking. So be sure to check out that over at awesomeo.com. As I will tell you, there is one underdog on this card, not named Stipe Miocic, that I'm really looking at. Ooh. I'm interested as we go on to see maybe if Pete's on the same line thinking I am. I don't know if he will be or not. There is one under 8,000 fighter not named Stipe that I'm looking at.
Okay.
We'll see, a little teaser as we go on throughout the show. Let's get right into the co-main event of the fight card. It is Vicente Luque versus Tyron Woodley. I mentioned this on my show yesterday, and I'll pose the same question to you that I posed to my co-host. Do you trust Tyron Woodley?
Hell no. No, I do not. And if you've been betting on Tyron Woodley, you might be homeless right now, because he has not won a round in a very long time. And he's been, you know, just doing the same thing every fight, putting himself in bad positions. So the word trust and Tyron Woodley do not go together.
So I want to bring up this quote that he had when he was on Eric Hawani's show this week, when he was asked about changing his mentality after three straight losses. Quote, "I trained for those fights. I was ready for those fights. I was prepared for those fights. There's nothing that happened, nothing my opponents did that surprised me. I was just there. I was just watching myself lose, and I'm tired of doing that." Expletive.
Jason, I've heard this so many times, and I feel like we've been told this so many times. And I hope that he's right, and I hope that he has made adjustments and made changes, because the last thing I like to see is a fighter that was on top, you know, being forced his way out of the sport. That is one of the saddest things that can happen in an MMA career, is when you see a guy that was a champion at one time just never knowing when to give it up, or never knowing when to, you know, step away, especially when you're not seeing progress under the lights, because that is the big thing. Like, under the lights, are you making progress? Are you making changes? Or is there something like underlying? Like, he needs to have hired a sports psychologist or something, because there's something mentally not there. He doesn't throw enough. He backs himself against the cage, and it's almost like he's in an out-of-body experience where he's, you know, kind of like watching himself get beat up throughout the duration of the fight, which does bother me, but he is super dangerous, even at 7,100.
first scheduled three-round fight for Tyron Woodley since January 31st, 2015.
Damn. Yeah, I mean, it goes to show you that he was a champ for a long time, or headlining, you know, fights for a very long time. And, you know, Tyron Woodley, his name holds a lot of merit, and a lot of fighters within the division didn't want to fight him for a very long time because he has strong wrestling and overwhelming power. He really relies on that power to get it done for him. And having such a low volume approach to a game, you know, when you're like, if somebody's not afraid of your power and they start walking you down and hitting you with attrition, like, you know, that one shot doesn't always land. And I think that's the worry for me with Tyron Woodley. I think for me, it'll be like a 10% play just because of he has a puncher's chance. And if he does find the home against a very hittable Vicente Luque, it's possible. But Vicente Luque checks all the boxes for me. He's an exceptional striker, exceptional on the ground. He's just so talented, and I think he's one of the dark horses within the division and a fighter that I really like.
Here's my concern on Woodley before I go to Luque. Mm-hmm. Is when you're watching UFC fight, there's that black line. And yeah, especially in that smaller cage, you're basically about a step and a half away from your back being up against the cage. And this is a familiar scene we have seen with Woodley. I believe he needs to go the takedown route in this one. I think he's got to go back to his old school collegiate wrestling in this one, as opposed to just looking for that right hand bomb a la Roy Nelson. And we've seen how Roy Nelson's career has gone over the years. You're looking out for that one bomb or him clinching against the fence. So to me, but on the other side with Vicente Luque, the price does concern me at $9,100 on DK and $21 over on FanDuel, because if you want to talk about the last time, obviously, you know, Colby got that fifth round TKO, which was, you know, TKO slash rib injury. But when you want to talk about the last time that he got stopped, we got to go back to 2012 against Nate Marquardt in Strikeforce.
Yeah, that was a damn good knockout too. That's one of my favorite knockouts in the clinch. I love that knockout. And I do think that Woodley's very tough, especially in a three-round fight. I think putting away Woodley would be extremely impressive. But Woodley really hasn't shown me a lot with the new scoring system. I will be a little hesitant on Vicente Luque at 9,100 because of the concerns that you talked about of if it's just a decision, does he really pay off the salary? You know, probably not in a decision. But I don't want to take the possibility of a finish out of the equation. 89% finish rate for Vicente Luque out of his 19 victories. And he does, in a way, have crisper striking than Colby Covington, Gilbert Burns. So I do think that a finish is possible, but decision's probably more likely. And I'll still have my exposure to Vicente Luque. I still think that with everything I've seen from Woodley at 38 years old, there's no way I can trust him outside of 10% of lineups.
No, to me, there's no way you can trust Woodley, but I could see a fact of if you're looking at a cheaper 7,000 play, I don't mind going the Woodley route, but I just don't trust him. And that's got to be the concern. But my concern on Luque is, can he pay off that price point, you know, especially if this fight does go 15 minutes. Of course, this is the Also MMA DFS Strategy Show. Now, if there's ever an occasion where you miss the show or you want to go back and listen to the show after the fact, you can check it out in podcast form as a part of the Osmo Podcast Network. Just go to osmo.com/podcast to check it out over there, as we always appreciate. Of course, be sure, you know, if you're not subscribed to us here on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. We got a lot of great programming that we have every day. Of course, coming up after us will be the NBA Late Slate Show. We'll get you ready for tonight's Late Slate NBA action. Of course, as always, be sure to hit that thumbs up. That does help us out a lot as well. Let's move on to our next matchup, Sean O'Malley versus Thomas Almeida. This is an interesting matchup. You know, Thomas came back last year after a layoff with the eye injury. Sean O'Malley, you know, coming off that loss against Chito Vera. But to me, I think this is a tailor-made matchup for really both guys.
I'm glad you said that, because I thought you were going to really lean in one direction or the other. And, you know, you can't trust either guy. And like me trusting Sean O'Malley, that kind of those days are done because of his last performance. And his last performance against Marlon Vera, like, he looked good until, you know, he had an ankle injury where, you know, whether it was from a low kick or just his kind of like, I don't know, like, he seems to be Like, he has an ongoing injury with his ankles over the course of his career. I mean, you think about Andre Sukumtop fight of how he was hobbled on one leg. And I think it's kind of like an injury that's plagued him throughout his career. So, you know, Almeida is a tough striker, Jason. Like, yeah, like he's been knocked out and finished. But, you know, he's been finished by Cody Garbrandt, Rob Font, lost two decisions to Jimmy Rivera and Jonathan Martinez. Like, all of those guys are top-notch talent. And, you know, maybe in a guy like Sean O'Malley can't find the knockout blow here. This is an interesting fight, especially if he starts to incorporate leg kicks.
Yeah, that to me is really the key with Thomas Almeida is, when you see what, and you mentioned what Sukumtop did, what Chito Vera did, you have to imagine that his team has made this a big part of the camp. And, you know, ESPN Plus has an Undestined show, and this is a fight that they profiled. And so if you have an ESPN Plus subscription, it's like a 20-minute show, and it takes you inside both of these fighters' training camp. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is it does kind of, you know, you get that feel that Thomas Almeida understands his back is against the wall. He is clearly the B side of this fight, but I think it's still a great opportunity. And you want to talk about when you're looking to throw darts at fighters who are in that low 7,000 range, you're looking to, you know, take some darts on fighters that have the ability to finish the fight. And I don't like, I'll probably be in around a 10% exposure to Thomas Almeida.
Yeah. I mean, if I put Tyron Woodley at 10%, I'd probably put Almeida double that. You know, I think 20% would be okay. And I think you worded it perfectly. Like, as far as the 7K punts, I think Thomas Almeida fits a lot of the criteria, right? Like, he has a strong finishing ability, 95% finishing ability out of his 22 professional fights. He's a talented striker. He's okay in jiu-jitsu. But the thing with Thomas Almeida is like a speed disadvantage in this matchup in the fact that he gets hit, you know, quite often. And I think, you know, Sean O'Malley's speed should be obvious from the get-go in this matchup, as long as he is mentally okay from actually being defeated. Like, it's one thing to be an undefeated fighter, but it's another thing to kind of just like not take ownership of a defeat. And whether it's to kind of like, you know, pump a narrative or just get more clout or get more attention, whatever it is, there needs to be ownership in the gym. And I understand that he has mentioned that, you know, he loses all the time in the gym. He slaps hands and gets right back to it. So I hope that's the true mentality behind Sean O'Malley. And he's not kind of like, you know, ignorant to facts or ignorant to the fact that he's human and susceptible to getting rocked, getting knocked out, submitted, because he needs to still have confidence, but also have respect for his opponents. And I think that this is a good matchup for you know, Sean O'Malley. With all that being said, he has the volume edge. He has the speed edge. I will place Sean O'Malley in a decent amount of my lineup, 75% finish rate in 12 victories. But as far as 7K punts, Almeida is one of the best.
So here's Thomas Almeida's wins in the UFC. By the way, his last win in the UFC was in 2016, FYI.
Yep.
Albert Morales, Anthony Berchek, Brad Pickett, Yishuo Bwin, Tim Gorman. Anthony Berchek is the only fighter still in the UFC at this point. He's on his, second stint in the UFC, third stint in the UFC? So but you look at his losses, Cody Garbrandt, Jimmy Rivera, Rob Font, Jonathan Martinez, you know, we're talking, you know, Font, Rivera, and Garbrandt, the very top of this division. But I think this is a fight that you have to be looking at when you talk about must roster fights, fights that are likely going to get the winner's going to walk away with 100 points. I think this is a fight that you have to kind of circle is potentially in that area.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, if you even look at Sean O'Malley's kind of like, you know, resume, he's had some questionable fights too. Like, you know, Tarion Ware, Andre Sukumtop, you know, Jose Quinones, Eddie Wineland, you know, like not Eddie Wineland from you know, the WEC, but I mean, it's to build him. Like, I understand the process of these fights. It makes sense. You know, and Marlon Vera, that was easily his biggest step up in competition. So, you know, I think that they're both close, and this could end up being a very, very back and forth fight or an exciting matchup.
Yeah, it to me, this is a tailor-made matchup for both guys. Should be a fun, exciting fight to watch there on pay-per-view. Now, of course, if you do want to get access to our ownership projections, what you got to do is sign up for Awesome Mo Plus Weekly Pass. You can get that for $29.95. Gives you access to all the coverage that we have over at awesomeo.com. And if you just want an MMA weekly pass, you can get that for $8.95. Just go to awesomeo.com/join to sign up today. And of course, one of the great products that we have a part of the Awesomeo Plus is our Slack channel, which you can talk to myself and Pete. We'll be in there on fight night talking with you about the fights. Of course, that's a great part of the Awesomeo Plus package that we do have. So be sure to check out the packages we have over there at awesomeo.com. Move on next, a matchup that was supposed to take place a couple of weeks ago, Jillian Robertson and Miranda Maverick. You know, this is a, do I dare say armbar from guard? Are we saying it's in play here?
You know, I don't really know if it's in play here. I think if somebody was going to pull it off, it would probably be Jillian Robertson. She is the submission specialist in this matchup, but you know, obviously Robertson likes to, you know, get her opponents down to the mat where she can implement a strong top game and, you know, decent submission skills. But I think that this is a tough matchup against Miranda Maverick, who's very strong. She has like ever improving takedown defense, but is obviously, and, you know, obviously the stronger striker here and had a great debut. I think that, you know, Maverick is the A side of the fight. You could do worse than Robertson as a punt play because if she does get a takedown, winds up on top or wins a scramble, she could be in a nice position to work towards a finish. But for me, I really like Maverick at 8,800. It's just, does she get a finish here?
My only concern with the Miranda Maverick in this one is her getting taken down. That to me is a concern. You know, just looking at some of the prop bets that are out there, Maverick via TKO KO plus 575 is one that kind of does that's kind of juicy. That sticks out to me. Of course, you can check out the odds over at oddshopper.awesomeo.com. And you know, the fight goes the distance prop, it's only minus 150.
It might be a trap, Jason. It might be a trap. I wonder, because like we've seen Jillian Robertson in striking exchanges, she shells up. And she doesn't seem too comfortable on the feet, obviously, because that's not her bread and butter. Her bread and butter is to get her opponents down to the mat. But if she cannot do that, she could be a sitting duck here.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. And get lit up like a Christmas tree from Miranda Maverick. So maybe what I'll say is a surprising spot for Miranda Maverick. So I kind of like would put an asterisk next to her name.
Miranda at $16 on FanDuel is very intriguing.
Yeah, I think so too. She's going to need to stuff takedown. So I think that's a pivotal play over on FanDuel.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of looking at the pricing on that fight, $16.13. You know, the 8,800, obviously on DraftKings, you're likely going to need that to be a finish and likely going to want it to be comment saying Robertson is the A side personally. No, she's not. The betting odds tell you she's not the A side.
She's had a strong, like, obviously, like, we've seen Maverick only in one fight in the UFC. So Robertson's fought, you know, tougher opposition and has, you know, had back and forth battles and some strong performances in the UFC. Like, she's a dominant grappler for sure. But if she cannot get the fight to the mat, she could be in for some trouble. So I will definitely have some exposure to Robertson at 7,400. She's still a very strong punt play for sure. But I do like Maverick within the division.
Yeah, she has to get, I mean, Maverick's, I think, 25 years old. She's young. You know, we've seen Jillian Robertson, but to me, if she does not get this fight to the ground, I do think it'll be a long night for her. The opening matchup of the pay-per-view, got Jamie Mullarkey taking on Kama Worthy, 8,600 on DK, 7,600 for Mullarkey, and then 17 and 14, respectively, over on FanDuel. Kama's treating me well in the UFC. You know, did not treat me well the last time. Previous to that, he's treating me well in this one. This is one of those fights I feel like you got to circle it because it's just not Kama Worthy's DNA to go three rounds.
No, and you know what? We might have my first underdog of the night that I'm really backing, and I know that may shock you. I think I like Mullarkey here, Jason, and it's more on comma worthy from what I remember of him regionally. He's a guy that I've never really been high on. And I understand if you're looking for a mid-range play that can get you a nice knockout, comma worthy fits that bill, right? Like, that's why Jason's been so successful with him, because, you know, he has been pretty strong, and he had a nice guillotine as well. So, you know, he likes to finish his fight, 75% finish rate out of 16 victories. But for me, is the susceptibility on the feet to get hit with a big shot and wobbled. How many knockout losses does he need to suffer to really be, you know, a liability on the feet defensively? And I know that Malarkey's not a good striker at all, and his avenue of getting this fight done is to take his opponents down. So 7,600, I really like Malarkey. I know he's been training a lot with Ross Pearson. I've been looking a lot on Instagram. And, you know, I think that I like Malarkey here. 92% finish rate out of 12 victories. I think that he's going to surprise some people.
Look, the winner of this fight's going to win by. I would be pretty surprised this thing goes 15 minutes. That's why I think this is a fight. I mean, look, you know, Ikama is, he's had, you know, these moments where we saw in the regional scene, we saw his last UFC fight, you know, don't rule out. I don't think I've heard some people talk about maybe Malarkey going to takedown game. Don't sleep on Kama Worthy's jiu-jitsu. So, but I think that likelihood is I would be surprised if this fight makes it to the third round.
Yeah, it's a fight that I will definitely be smashing some exposure to, because it's kind of like two guys, neither one of them are in the 9,000 range. And just their style of fights, 75% finish rate for Worthy, 92% for Malarkey. That should tell you that it's going to be fireworks, especially when you see how, you know, deficient they are in certain areas, which could make a finish more likely. So have your exposure to Worthy, have your exposure to Malarkey, and, you know, sit back. This could be a nice matchup for GPPs.
Of course, you have probably seen the Osmo avatar all over at DFS leaderboards, and that's for a very good reason. If you rock our avatar on your DFS profile, you'll win a free month of Osmo Plus when you place within the top three in any GPP of 5,000 plus entries. Head over to osmo.com/announcement/avatar or simply Google search Osmo avatar for instructions on how to download those images. I wasn't that far away from a top three finish last week in NASCAR. Had a pretty good day in NASCAR, but yeah, kind of helped when you had Kyle Larson. If you didn't have Kyle Larson, you were not going to be in there, but you definitely got to rock that Osmo avatar. It's on my profile, so be sure to check that over and simply Google search Osmo avatar to put it to a part of your profile. Next up, we got a matchup that came together earlier on this week, Alonzo Menifield and Fabio Charrant. As William Knight out of this fight, he is now going to fight in 2 weeks' time. And so now Alonzo Menifield takes on Fabio Charrant. Charrant, also a Northeast fighter, just like William Knight. I think weigh-ins are going to be something I'm going to be paying a ton of attention to with Fabio Charrant in this one. But when you look at the salaries of $8,100 on Menifield, $7,000 for Charrant. Now, FanDuel, totally different story. $22 for Menifield, $9 for Charrant. But I think in terms of DraftKings, I think this is a fight you've really got to be looking at. And, I mean, look, we talked about earlier, you don't trust Tyron Woodley. Do you trust Alonzo Menifield?
I mean, not really. There's Tyron Woodley's definitely on the don't trust list. But let me say that, you know, Menifield, I could forgive him. He's 92. Fabio Charrant's one of my buddies, so I am extremely pumped that he got the UFC call, and, you know, I think that it's well-deserved. He had, you know, a fight on the Contender Series, did not go his way. Outside the, you know, the Contender Series, he ended up a couple weeks ago capturing a title. So, you know, looking at his record, 71% finish rate, most of his wins are via submission, so a lot of people are going to think that he has no striking, but over the past couple of years, he's really been focusing on his boxing. And that was evident in his previous fight where he just captured the title. And, you know, he's comfortable, you know, standing up now, and is a main training partner for my coach, Greg Ribello. And, you know, at 7,000, he's a guy to definitely include in some lineups because, you know, in his last most recent fight, he looked really good. But obviously paired up against Alonzo Menifield, I mean, let's be real, Alonzo Menifield's very, very dangerous. So this is not an easy fight by any means. And I think Fabio knows that. You know, 92 for Alonzo Menifield with 100% finish rate. I think the strategy of getting rid of Menifield or winning a fight over Menifield is to stretch it out, make him fight in the later rounds where you could wear on him and potentially, you know, get him to shell up from defending takedowns, hit him with some shots, maybe take him to the mat, because Fabio is really talented submission wise. He likes to take his fighters down. I just hope like he hasn't fallen in love with his hands too much that he forgets he's a well-rounded, you know, mixed martial artist. But as far as like prioritizing fights on this card, this fight kind of does scream GPP for me, Jason. And I understand why Menifield, you know, would be a favorite. He's the more notable guy. He's looked incredible in the UFC in his wins. He's very dynamic and very explosive. But don't count out my boy Fabio Chiron. I'll definitely be rostering a ton of my buddy because, I, you know, it's my buddy first and foremost. More of a heart play. But I do think that, you know, he can definitely pull the upset. I know that it's on 3 days' notice, but we've seen stranger things happen, and I'm just happy he's in the UFC for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, the key has got to be Fabio Chiron to wear down Alonzo Menifield. Try to get this fight to second, third round, see if you can wear down Menifield a little bit. Look, Menifield is going to be chalky on Saturday on DraftKings. There's no doubt about it. FanDuel is a completely different story. Do you want to be over or under the field on Menifield?
Well, it's my boy. So, you know, I think from an unbiased perspective, I could see why you would want to smash exposure to this fight. And I could see why Menifield will be a highly rostered, you know, fighter for sure. I just know the advancements in Fabio's game that I've seen over the, you know, the past year or two and how good he did look in a striking match throughout the entire duration of the fight. But Menifield kind of does have that death touch, and it's something to definitely worry about. If Fabio incorporates takedowns, Jason, he might be one of the best value plays on the slate. It's just a big what if, especially on 3 days' notice. So at 8,100, I fully expect Menifield to be a very, very popular play. You know, rooting for my boy, but it's a very dangerous matchup for sure.
Then we got Jared Gooden taking on Nurmagomedov, not Khabib. This is not Khabib, a totally different fighter. So I mentioned there's a fighter in 7,000 range, not named Stipe Miocic, that I am leaning on. It's Jared Gooden.
Ooh, okay. I can't hate it.
Big boy, big boy. Cuts a lot of weight to get to 70.
Okay.
I think that a lot of people are looking at that last name, and he's not Khabib. Look, there's a reason he's a favorite, but I think when I look at that under 8,000 options of, you know, who do I trust, not named Stipe Miocic, Jared Gooden's one of the guys I'm looking at.
I can't hate it. I do worry about, you know, fighting Alan Joban and not being able to put away Alan Joban, who at times looked to be very chinny within the UFC and looked to be susceptible to getting knocked out and then kind of getting outstruck and kind of picked apart. 6.67 strikes per minute outgoing, and then absorbs 11.2 in that one matchup. So, man, he really got hit a lot in that fight. And the one thing about Jared Gooden that I do not like is how he keeps his head so stationary and his chin straight up in the air. Now, I'm kind of like, you know, splitting hairs here because I do understand he's the A side as far as striking wise. You know, Abubakar Nurmagomedov has, you know, very, very strong wrestling, but in the stand up department, does look to be a little deficient where, you know, he does kind of be, you know, he's a little statuesque where he stands there, covers up, looks uncomfortable. And, you know, you have to think about that loss to David Zavada. So it's a definite, it's not a smash play. 9,000 for Nurmagomedov. I did not expect that, but I think the name alone is what really inflated his odds. It inflated his DraftKings salary. And, It could be a nice leverage play going towards Gooden. But let me tell you, Jason, Khabib as a coach, we saw Islam Makhachev just the other weekend. I really think Khabib as a coach might be a real deal. Like, I think he might find his new niche where he's just going to find a stable of fighters. He already has it, obviously, with Team Eagle. But I think that he's going to become a very, very, you know, accredited coach within the MMA community. So at this point, it's hard for me to pick against Team Khabib. I'm still leaning to Nurmagomedov, but as far as an underdog call, I like what you're saying about Jared Gooden, 76% finish rate, definitely underdog possibility.
And here's what concerns me about Nurmagomedov is you look at when he came over to the United States, World Series of Fighting, when your manager is the matchmaker, you're going to get the best fights possible.
Yeah.
So I think that is kind of a concerning, and you know, at that price tag of 9,200, he's not been a finisher.
Yeah. You know, he is 67% finish rate for Nurmagomedov out of 15 victories.
Okay. Hold on. You need to put an asterisk next to that.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Because let's look at since he's come to the United States. One.
Yeah, it is true. But with the new DraftKings scoring, how it really favors grapplers. Let's not discredit the potential for a guy like Nurmagomedov if he's able to put together a good game plan under Khabib, where like if he's able to completely outclass Gooden in the grappling and wrestling department. I mean, he is a combat sambo champion. The guy does know how to fight. It's not an easy matchup by any means, but anytime you see grappler on a DFS slate, I wouldn't say prioritize them, but look at them a little bit more carefully.
Yeah, it's the DK. Yeah, that's the thing about the DK scoring system. We talked about it so much. If it's a striking matchup, you need someone who throws a ton of volume. So they don't throw volume, they're just not going to bring up. Now, I know people thought I was going to go the Modestus Bukakis route in terms of it. This is another fight. I think that is when you're talking about fights, you really got to consider rostering him against Mihail here. I think it's one of those fights. I don't love Odessa's in this spot. But you know, Mihail on the other side, I mean, look, it's the guy who's lost, you know, a couple of fights now, you know, back to back, but to me, this has got finish written all over it.
Yeah. I mean, Mikhail Oleshchuk, you know, a guy 6 feet tall, 7'4" reach going up against Modestus Bukakis, 6'3", 78-inch reach. So the taller and longer man is Bukakis in this, you know, in this matchup. And Bukakis is 91% finish rate versus Oleshchuk 79% finish rate. So, you know, the finish rate does favor Bukakis here. So I think that this is a sneaky spot for an underdog. And I wonder if Oleshchuk, yes, he's talented, but I wonder if he was like never really that talented because he was on tainted supplements, or because he's popping for stuff under USADA. He hasn't really looked the same since. You know, the takedown route for either man really isn't there. But if somebody was going to go the grappling route, I would imagine it would be Oleshchuk because Bukauskas does everything in his power to try to keep the feet, you know, the fight on the feet. You know, he counters a lot of double legs against the cage with elbows to the questionable areas of the head. You know, a lot of wins by that, honestly. If you look back on his career regionally, he has a ton of wins like that. I think this matchup could be fireworks, and I do like Bukauskas as the underdog pick to pull off the victory here. And I think that we're going to see like a very unique lineup as far as taking down the optimal. I think you're going to need at least two underdogs.
And of course, you know, always got to bring up the line that Modestus told me last year during quarantine. The thing he learned to do in quarantine, became a good beer pong player.
Oh God. I was hoping he'd say wrestler, but
he didn't lay with beer pong. He said, he goes, I became really good at putting a ping pong ball into a cup.
Come on, guy.
Put one and one together. Come on,
guy.
So I'm just saying, if you're at the Holiday Inn tomorrow, you know, this weekend, if you're in the Vegas, and if Modesta says, hey, let's play some beer pong after the fight, you may want him as a teammate.
Man. All right. Well, you know, that's your boy, right? You've interviewed Bukauskas quite a while. I can't say his last name, Bukauskas.
Coach, hey, look, you should love him. He's coached by his dad.
That is cool. Definitely, definitely favoring Bukauskas.
Yeah, he's a funny guy to talk to. Of course, be sure to, if you're not subscribed to Osmo here on YouTube, be sure to hit that subscribe button. We got a ton of great shows for you each and every day. Of course, coming up after us will be Spags and EMAC for the NBA late slate show. It was, of course, a ton of changes. Pete's over here trying to rip on my moves. The magic made. I'm, you know, come on, Pete. You know, acting like, you know, Vucevic like is like a top five player in the NBA over there. But Spags and Emac will get you ready for tonight's late slate. Of course, tomorrow we'll have all your NBA, NHL coverage over here at osmo.com. Of course, be sure when you subscribe to the show, you hit that notification bell so you know when a show is live here on the channel. Of course, you know, help Pete out. Give Pete a thumbs up. It kind of helps his ego a little bit. So give Pete a thumbs up here on this video here on YouTube. Let's move on to the next matchup. Matchup that I guess is happening. Yeah. You know, as far as we know, this matchup is happening. Shane Young and Omar Morales. A week ago, last Saturday, it looked like this matchup was not happening. Of course, being a part of, you know, the Volkanovski and everything that went along with that. Omar Morales, minus 185 betting favorite in this one, plus 160 return on Shane Young. What's your take, Pete?
You know, it's they're pairing two strikers up here, and Shane Young really got lit up in his previous outing against Ludovic Klein, and man, my goodness, that was quite the finish. And Shane Young does come from a strong camp out of City Kickboxing and working a lot with those guys. But I will say that one of my favorite gyms, and a gym that I plan on going to train at because I have several buddies that train there, is Sanford MMA, and that's where Morales is a part of. You know, strong camp, good striking under Henry Hooft, also very, very good wrestling there as well. So this is a battle of two strong camps, with the taller guy being Morales in this matchup. And Morales at 145 pounds is kind of like, it surprises me because he is a big guy, and we have seen him compete higher in the past. I mean, I know he did just most recently fight at 145 pounds, but it's still pretty, he's a big guy. And I think that he's very talented and definitely has the kicking advantage over Shane Young. But if you're looking at stats and you're looking at previous fights, Shane Young in good performances has had, you know, very high volume, and the volume is what could be a part of your argument. If you're a Shane Young backer, you think he's either going to get ahead on the scorecards where Morales can't make up ground, or you think that he's going to kind of, you know, outproduce Morales at like a 2-1, which is possible. But I do think that Morales has some underrated power, and maybe it hasn't really translated well into his career or in the UFC for that matter. But, you know, I do like Morales at 8,700. I just fear that this is a striking matchup back and forth. Maybe they win one round apiece, comes down to the third. Or even if it's a clean sweep, 3-0 for either fighter, you know, maybe it's not optimal because there's no finish. And because of the DraftKings scoring system, you know, you get what 85 points most in that. So outside of an outlier performance, I still think that Morales should be the A side of the fight and should get it done.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And of course, the motto down at Sanford MMA is keep it simple, stupid. That is, I was actually talking to a Sanford MMA fighter today. You know, Garrett Armfield is going to be fighting for CFFC come up here next weekend. And that is a simple mindset that Henry Hoof has when it comes to basically saying, you know what, don't worry about those fancy strikes. Sometimes that 1-2 works just as good as some flying knee that may or may not connect. But of course, March Madness is here. Sweet 16 starts this weekend. We've got you covered here at Osmo. If you're looking to get on some March Madness DFS action, you can get access to our college basketball DFS projections with the Osmo Plus Platinum Pass, or you can purchase our March Madness DFS package separately for only $9.95, which gives you access to the projections for the rest of the tournament. And of course, be sure to check out Odd Chopper, oddchopper.osmo.com, where you're looking to find the best line on the games. You know what I'll be doing Sunday when FSU is playing Michigan. Michigan's gonna find out what defense is all about coming here this weekend. So you know what I'll be doing coming up on Sunday. We got one more fight here left to break down, and that is Abu Azatar taking on Marc-Andre Barriot. Marc-Andre Barriot, is he on the do not trust list as well?
Yeah, 100% on the most underwhelming fighters coming into the UFC that I was excited about originally. He's really kind of dropped the ball as far as I'm concerned in the UFC. Like outside of it, he's looked very, very strong, very talented, 73% finish rate and 11 victories, but it hasn't really translated well in the top promotion of all mixed martial arts. And, you know, it's tough to trust him. Yeah, he did look good in his most previous outing against Oscar Pajilta, But I think that Abu Azatar is no slouch. And at 8,000, perhaps somebody that we can consider.
Yeah, Azatar, of course, his brother, who you know, apparently only had potatoes in the bag. I'm not sure if anyone really believes that. But Azatar, to me, is a guy that I'm looking at in terms of this fight. Of course, if you do got any questions, you can be sure to line those up in the chat. We will get to those here at the end of the show. We're going to give you our fight picks here momentarily. Of course, do want to let you know the free content over at awesomemode.com is MMA fighter ranking. So check out that over there at awesomemode.com. Let's go on with our fight picks. Let's start. Let's go from the bottom to the top. I'm going to go Azatar.
Yeah, non-DFS related, I'm going Azatar.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, these are all non-DFS straight-up picks. I'm going to go Omar Morales.
Same.
Give me Heil.
Bukauskas.
Wow, okay. Give me Jared Gooden.
Nurmagomedov.
I'm going to go Minifield.
I got to go my boy. Let's go, Bob.
Give me Colin Worthy.
Nah, malarkey.
Wow, we're really – people do keep track of these because I see the tweets on, yeah, on Fight Night. Give him Miranda Maverick against Julian Robinson.
Same, Maverick.
I will go O'Malley.
O'Malley.
Luque.
Luque.
All right, let's see if we agree on the main event. I got to go with a better overall fighter. Give me Stipe Miocic.
Okay, I'm going to be different, and I'm going to say Francis Ngannou. No problem at all. Let's do it.
Look, I mean, he's got that death punch. Oh, yeah. He lands one of those uppercuts. And that's, I really think if the stoppage comes by Francis, I think it starts with the uppercut.
Yeah. I mean, you have to think about to this point, right? Like how much damage Stipe Miocic has taken. And I mean, it could be a jab and he could sit down Stipe Miocic. He has been working a lot with Kamaru Usman. We'll have to see. Maybe it has helped his takedown defense. Maybe he's developed a better jab. We'll see.
Just he needs to go balls to the wall, no different than what he's done in his last four fights.
See, I don't know if he needs to do that, because if he does that, then he brings his hips forward and then he allows Stipe Miocic to really change levels and put him on his backside pretty quickly.
Don't change who you are.
Yeah, but you have to in a way, though, Jason, you have to.
Wait, what? Are you going to become a wrestler now?
No, but you have to, like, you don't want to change your identity, yeah, but you can definitely change your game plan. That's important.
Yeah, no, I get you with that. Bill says, better dog in a DraftKings GPP. Bukauskas or Malarkey?
Wow, that's a really close one. I will say that Malarkey could take advantage of Kama Worthy getting finished a lot. I think that Bukauskas could definitely catch Oleshchuk, but I'll give me Malarkey in that situation.
Yeah, and look, there's a couple of fights on this card that I think that you're probably likely going to hit be optimal. I think Malarkey and Worthy is one of them. I think the main event's obviously one of those, and you know, Mihail and Modestas, I think is one of those ones that you got to hit as well. I mean, those are fights that you have to look at. Of course, myself and Pete will be back here on Saturday, live before lock, 5 p.m. Eastern time. We'll lead you into NBA coverage that night. Of course, coming up next year on Awesomeo will be the NBA late slate show with Spags and EMAC. They'll get you ready for the late night action in the NBA. Of course, I do want to thank our sponsor, Monkey Knife Fight. Be sure to use the promo code Awesomeo and you'll get an instant first match deposit up to $50. So until Saturday, good luck to everyone, and we will talk to you in less than 48 hours for Live Before Lock, as we'll get you ready for UFC 260. Have a great night.